You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
This is the Watchathon of Rassilon, the most expensive podcast episode ever.
The episode of our podcast?
This one right here, this one is going to be the most expensive ever produced. I am CG.
Oh.
I am computer generated.
Your voice?
Yeah. And you can't tell because this is an audio-only podcast, unless you're on Patreon. But this entire set was constructed solely for this episode.
Okay. Should we play the theme song now?
Yes, and it's we had to pay a lot of money to get the rights to today we're going to be talking about the second episode of the first series of Doctor Who, The End of the World, which aired April 2nd, 2005. Was going to air right after the last episode, but RTD said it too late and then they didn't do it.
He said it too late.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I want this to air immediately after the first episode. And then they're like, we've already done the schedule, so how about no?
True facts!
Because this episode does pick up immediately after the end of the last episode, with Rose running into the TARDIS and then the Doctor bragging a bit.
And then they proceed to go on the worst first date.
Should I read my summary?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to read my summary. The Doctor takes Rose to the future to witness the destruction of Earth from a very fancy space station. They meet a bunch of rich aliens, including a blue dude, another blue dude...
I love that that's your immediate introduction to, like, this aliens. Isn't the normal world. This is a crazy space world. That guy's blue. Genuine line of dialogue.
Yes.
But he's blue.
There's actually two blue people, technically. There's, well, three. Actually, all of the people that work there are blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the little blue guy that sits in a thing. Anyway, some rich aliens, including a blue dude, some trees, the face of Bo, and the last human, Cassandra, who is basically just a stretched piece of skin with eyes and a mouth. The adherents of the repeated mean give everyone robot spiders that proceed to try and kill everyone. In the course of solving who's doing this, Rose gets some TARDIS lore, and we get hints at the Doctor's backstory. Turns out the big bad is Cassandra, who was wanting to get some money out of all of this somehow. I don't fully remember.
It's not important.
Then she teleports away. The Doctor walks through some incredibly bad CGI fans and saves the day, but the tree dies. Then the Doctor brings Cassandra back using some sci-fi stuff, and she explodes due to not being moisturized. The Doctor finally tells Rose about the war, and they go get some chips, having completely missed the destruction of the Earth. That's the episode.
That's pretty much it. So, do you want to talk about what you teased at the beginning?
This is the most expensive episode. There may have been a more expensive episode since, but the wikis haven't updated.
What was it?
It said as of the Wedding of River Song, it's the most expensive.
As episode. Of the airing?
Yeah, because I guess that's when they
updated. That was the last time it was updated.
Yeah, the last time they updated the wiki.
Which is rough. Those 2005 graphics do not hold up.
Some of them do.
Which ones do?
Cassandra is entirely CGI.
Yeah, Cassandra looks
pretty good.
I would say the little metal spiders, not so much.
Yeah, the metal spiders do not hold up. The like view outside, like when, like, you know, the planet Earth turning into fire and all that. That all looks pretty good. Like whenever it's like you're looking through a window, or like when they walk into the big room and it pans down and like you can see outside the window and you see all the space stuff. That stuff looks
good.
Well,
I'm sure not all of that expensive budget was CGI. Some of it seemed to be. There's that
scene where there's
a lot of creatures and creature makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that whole scene where we're just like, Here's this. We are just introducing all the alien people who are also on the ship.
And they look pretty cool. I mean, face of Boat looks amazing.
That's a huge
waste of money. But he looks great.
I didn't realize Face of Boat was in the second episode.
Yeah, so Jack.
Yeah.
Spoilers, I guess. I don't know. It's never been confirmed. But yeah, like, he's just a giant face in a jar. And he's really cool. He's got, like, little tentacles and stuff. He's a big old puppet. Everybody else is just people in costumes. Even the blue guy.
I don't understand why the metal spiders weren't puppets.
I don't know.
I mean, that seems like something that's perfect for that.
Because, okay, so RTD basically said he wanted... They put all the money in this specifically to, like, show off. To be like, this is what Doctor Who can be. Which meant the rest of the season, they couldn't do as much. They actually over... Like, this, people who did the CGI went over, basically. They did too much. But also, it's just, you know, just to be like, look how cool we are. Which reminds me a lot of the beginning of the Trial of a Time Lord, where they have that great, big, expensive model shot of the space station thing. And honestly, I think that still holds up better than this episode. Though, I do like this episode.
This is not an ideal era for CGI. Mm-mm. I feel like this is around the same time that one Sliders episode happened.
With the dragon?
I don't know. Maybe that predates this.
Probably.
How old is Sliders?
It's old. It was
is
like
it
on
90s?
The... Yeah, this is 90s, okay. I'm pretty sure. And this is early 2000s. I mean, it doesn't look terrible. Like I said, Cassandra looks good. And...
I think it only looks bad in the... I mean, A, in how dated it is, but B, in the, like, context of, like, isn't this impressive? Where you're, like, watching in the future, like, no.
Doctor Who's done more impressive stuff since then, I feel like. But I guess for cheaper. Because there's been advances in technology. But speaking of saying that this reminds me of that one classic Who thing... it also reminds me of The Restaurant at the End of the Universe by Douglas Adams.
Mm.
It's like a lot of people gathering to witness the destruction of, you know, well, in that is the universe, in this it's just Earth. But a lot of like kooky characters, maybe not kooky enough. Like we only really get to meet two of them, really.
Mm-hmm.
We get to meet Cassandra, we get to meet the tree, whose name is Jabe, I believe.
Sure.
And we kind of have a little bit with that smaller blue guy. I forget his name. Mox or something? Mooks? I don't remember. And he's not even really an important character. The other blue guy he's just like the guy that hosts it or whatever. He gets a lot of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
But he just works there.
It's very weird that we've talked a little bit about this show being as much of its time as the other classic Doctor Who that we've watched, which is weird. It's weird when you've reached stuff that's of its time when you were like
the show
cognizant
as
a human being. But I think one of those things that's very like 2005 is the adherence of the repeated meme. Mm. That's a very 2005 idea.
And this predates like using the word meme for memes, right?
I can't imagine that that's true.
Or at least as prevalently.
We had memes in 2000, by 2005.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it was in the common vernacular.
Maybe. It's in the common vernacular enough for the Doctor to be like, what's a meme? He's using meme in the...
Yeah. I mean, he's using meme for what... I'm just saying, I don't think, like, memes is like, you know...
A thing yet?
Yeah. Like, memes is like, look at this meme. I'm sending you a meme. Like, that kind of... Like, the word itself obviously existed.
I know, I think that concept is starting here.
You think Doctor Who started?
No, I'm just saying, in this era...
Yeah.
Like, I feel like by 2007, you have, like...
Well, this is 2005.
When's the, like, awkward penguin era, like...
I'm Googling, when did memes start? 1990... It was formally proposed by Mike Godwin in 1993... but I feel like that's not...
I'm telling you, I think memes as a concept, as something that specifically... using the word as, like, jokes on the internet. I think it's in use by then.
Could be. I don't know.
Google when socially awkward penguin or whatever.
Macros were a popular meme format in the 2000s.
Early 2000s.
I mean, I said it was originated in 93, but I, like, again, that's just originated.
I'm saying, so. We're talking about, like, we're talking, I think macros are, I think, like, the first time you see memes, like, yeah. You see that word used that way.
2005! There was Rick Rowling.
This is what I'm saying.
Style.
This is,
okay.
It's of its right, time.
Yeah. I'm just curious how much, if that was on purpose.
If RTD knew that he was doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I absolutely think it was.
All right. That this is the evolution of the meme as it just becomes like a group of people, like a sect. This is just, these guys are just Reddit, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just Tumblr. This is where all the Twitter people are going to go.
And I do like the idea behind them is they don't actually exist.
Yeah, that is what happens later. The doctor rips one of their hands off and then just presses some buttons and they all fall down. Because the actual bad guy is Cassandra.
It's Cassandra!
When I say they give out little robotic spiders, they give out these little spherical balls. And they're like, this is a gift of peace and good faith.
I love that joke.
Which joke?
The joke of, they're like, it's the exchanging of gifts. And Doctor and Rose did not know that this was happening. And so the doctor is just like, I give you air from my lungs.
You know what I think's funny about that?
Hmm.
Is the first time he does it, it's with the tree. And she's like, how intimate. And then, like, they're hardcore flirting. This is a pretty horny episode. And so I was like, that's him flirting. And then he just does it to everyone. Here's the air from my lungs. That's, like, all he's got.
Because he doesn't have anything else.
Speaking of this episode being horny, there's that. And there's also the scene where the tree just assumes Rose is the doctor's wife or partner or concubine or prostitute. She says all of those words. And Rose is like, hey, I'm fucking right here. Rude.
Do you know what is wild about this episode? This is their second episode of a brand new TV show. And Rose is stuck in a closet
for
like 90% of it.
That's true.
It's just the doctor and this tree chick.
Yeah, that's actually something I didn't care for a lot, is how sidelined Rose gets in this one. Yeah, because, like, she's in this room, and the doctor's trying to open the doors, but the filter comes down, and she gets trapped in there. And then the doors are just stuck. And I think it's solely because...
There was, like, a scene where he was like, it's stuck. Like, I was like, he's walking to go get her. And then, like, another scene happens. So yeah. I was like, oh, that's not what's happening? He's not going to go figure that out. She's just going to stay in that room for another couple more scenes.
It's because the tree needed to sacrifice herself.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like RTD wanted the doctor and the tree together so that we could get more of the Time Lord stuff.
Without Rose getting it?
Without Rose getting it. So that the doctor, she knows about the doctor and can sort of hint at it, and then the doctor can give up that information. And also so that just... that information doesn't just come out of nowhere, which, if you know Doctor Who, you know it anyway. But as for, like, a new person, like, so sort of seeding that information mm-hmm. instead of just dropping it all at once right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my theory.
How do you feel about the big fans?
The big fans are big dumb. They're stupid. They're bad.
I don't even
ironically enjoy them.
I couldn't help but think of Galaxy Quest the entire time during that scene. Literally, yeah. The fan showed up on the screen and I said, fuck that.
She doesn't even say that.
Watch her mouth. Yes, she does.
I know. They dubbed over, so she says, screw that. And it works there because it's making fun of this bullshit.
It's just...
whoever wrote that episode was a bad person.
It's just funny in that it's like, it's such a trope that it's in Galaxy Quest, and I'm like, it's literally the exact same thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. It doesn't look great. Why the hell are they there? What?
And also, retro. I do love the lampshading of, like, look at, they've got retro technology as the air conditioner, and it's like, okay.
It also looks like one of them has blood on it, like somebody did walk right into it. But also with the way it's doing it, it's very clear you could just lay down and scooch under them.
Yes! The whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, there is enough clearance that he just needs to lay down and scooch.
And they try to do this big dramatic moment where, like, he's timing it out. Or
also, they're so slow
yeah.
that it feels like if they hit you, it'd be fine.
I don't know about that. But they do this bit where he, like, closes his eyes and then he just steps. It's, like, in slow motion and he steps through.
Because he's understanding, like, the timing as a Time Lord.
Yeah, but it doesn't really look like he's stepping past a fan because it's so hard to tell depth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks bad. It doesn't look great. I do like when they're in that room and that they see the spider and the doctor's shooting it with his sonic screwdriver and then the tree just, like, whips out one of her, like,
vines
and pulls it down. Yeah. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a decent effect. That was good. I remember watching this the first time and being, like, annoyed at Rose.
Yeah.
Just because she was like, everyone I know is dead. I remember watching it being like, not Rit, like, yes, but also no.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I remember being younger and being like, I don't understand why you're having such an emotional reaction to this.
This is 5 billion years in the future. What did you expect?
Yeah. But also I remember, like, now, watching it now, being a little bit like, I mean, why did you take her to, like, you know, the heat death of her planet? That's an upsetting thing to, like, oh, we're going to go on a fun adventure. Want to watch everything you've ever known get destroyed? Like,
I think it's the doctor trying to be like, it's not going to be all fun adventures.
I genuinely think it was just him trying to be impressive and not thinking that through.
Like, that also makes sense. Also, dude, you lost your planet.
Right.
Why didn't you think this might be kind of triggering or, you know? I wouldn't have cared if I'd went. I'd been like, oh, that's cool.
Literally, there is a part of me while watching this that is, like, not connecting on an emotional level because I'm like, well, it's time travel.
Mm-hmm.
She has that speech where she's like, I'm the only one left. And I'm like, but you're not really.
Yeah. It's only me. Which is the most Rose thing to say. You won't be here in 5 minutes. Like, I believe I said that when she said, it's only me. I was like, that's the most Rose thing to say. Make this all about you.
I do like the kind of turn that happens when Rose realizes Cassandra's like, I'm the last human. Like, that what she's saying is that, well, because the other people are out, you know, the other human beings out there aren't human because they're not 100% pure. And I just like the immediate reaction of like,
mongrels.
You fucking suck. Yeah. Got it. Like,
I also like the scene because there's a scene where Rose just is like, really just like kind of culture shocked, really. And then just sort of goes off by herself and then talks to that janitor.
Mm-hmm.
That scene did not exist originally. This episode underran.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's funny because I do like that scene a lot.
Yeah, I especially like when Rose just realizes, I just ran away with a stranger. I have no idea if this guy is dangerous or not.
Like, this might not have been my best idea. It is also wild. I mean, just the scene where the janitor's like, you have to give me permission to speak.
Yeah.
And Rose being like, okay. Gross. But, I mean, that's one of the things about Rose as a character that's always been, I don't know, one of her good things is that, like, she sees everyone in, like, a time and a place where that's not always happening. We both remembered that Toxic played.
Yes,
Toxic. And we did not remember that, what was the other song
played? Tainted Love.
Tainted Love. Tainted Love came on and we were like, I thought this was Toxic. And then we were like, wait, and then we were waiting for the Toxic scene.
Fun fact about that, because they bring out this giant jukebox that they call an iPod, which both of those are dated now.
Deeply funny.
You know, it shows the little record come down that says Toxic on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was not released as a single on that kind on of vinyl. So they had, the Tainted Love was, but the Toxic wasn't, so they had to, like, make one.
Amazing. But I also forgot that Cassandra talks about being on Earth as a little boy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I did not remember that at all. All right. Okay. Let's go.
First trans character in Doctor Who.
It's an evil Cassandra. Trampoline.
A bitchy trampoline, as Rose calls her at one point. Speaking of other firsts, this is the first use of psychic paper in all of Doctor Who. I don't know if it's an expanded stuff or not. I don't think so. But
wild, because it has always felt like such a staple.
Yeah, and it's not in Classic Who at all. The Doctor uses it to get into this whole shindig. He's like, it's my invitation. And also the first mention of Bad Wolf.
What's the mention of Bad Wolf?
The blue guy on the little chair thing is talking to the face of Bo. Let me look up the exact bit of dialogue. But it's just like in a panning shot where it's just like the party's going on and it sort of passes by him as they're they're having a conversation. He's talking to the face of Bo, and he says, indubitably, that, oh, his name is Mox. Indubitably, this is the bad wolf scenario. And the face of Bo just nods. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
But it's the first appearance.
Bad wolf.
Unless you've read the Rose novelization in which there's a band called Bad Wolf. But this is the first official on-screen mention of Bad Wolf, which is this season's... Every season of RTD has like a phrase, right?
Yeah.
Or a word or something.
Some kind of through line. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like this season is Bad Wolf. Next season is Torchwood. So those are a couple of firsts. What do you think of the psychic paper?
I love the psychic paper.
Yeah.
I always have. I particularly like in the specific ways in which the psychic paper breaks.
It's very similar to the Sonic Screwdriver and just plot convenience.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's not bulletproof.
Yeah. The Sonic Screwdriver not working is not as interesting as when the psychic paper doesn't work.
Because it always like breaks in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like this episode? Did you not like this episode? What did you think? And this is your second, third time watching it, maybe?
Yeah, third, because I watched it with you. Yeah, it's okay. It's, I don't have any strong feelings about it one way or the other. It's just an episode of Doctor Who.
I will say there are a couple of things that I really liked this episode. The Doctor crying, because the tree finds out that he's a Time Lord and is like, it's surprising you're even here or whatever. And like, he's just trying to like do jiggery pokery stuff, and he's just like, a single tear goes down his face. And she puts, like, her hand on his arm and stuff. And it's really touching. I feel like the way people perceive of Nine is largely because of this episode.
Because
There's also the truly great and terrifying scene when he knows that Cassandra did it. And basically brings her back to kill her.
And there's that terrifying and that sad moment where Rose just very quietly goes,
help her.
Help her.
And he's like, everything has its time and place.
And like, that's brutal. That is maybe the best part of the episode.
What's also cool is he says that, then she explodes. Rose is shocked, and the doctor just walks away. And like, is just storming off to do doctory business. And the shot is like, shot for shot, the exact same scene in the first episode. When they have their discussion about the turn of the earth and everything. And he's like, don't follow me or whatever. And he walks away from her. It's the exact same shot.
Is it really? I didn't notice that.
But, like, I think in the first episode, she's, like, intrigued. And in this episode, she's like, maybe this isn't such a great idea.
Man, the stuff that RTD is good at, he's real good at.
Yeah. I think he's really good at the emotional stuff. Maybe more so than plot.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I said he's not good at it. Or, again, if he just...
doesn't care.
Does not care. Like, that's not what's important here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. Like, that's a totally fair take. So.
Okay, another thing I want to talk about. The cell phone.
Oh, the cell phone broke my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Not just because it's like, how does that work? Which is whatever.
Yeah. Timey-wimey.
Yes. Because there's something that her mom says when she calls her.
Because the doctor fixes Rose's phone so that she can call back in time to her mom.
So she calls back in time to her mom, and her mom says something about, oh, buy into that lotto pool for me, which means that it's before the events of Rose.
Mm-hmm.
How does it decide that?
I don't know. What if Rose had been there?
What if she had been there? What if she was sitting at the table, and her mom had just been talking to her? Does the phone know?
I don't know. I couldn't get past hullabaloo. That's another quote from the episode. Because the doctor, was it majored in jiggery pokery?
Jiggery pokery. That's good banter. There's good banter in this episode.
I also think it's great that at the end of the episode, the doctor takes Rose back to Earth. This shot looks really good too, when they're just in the crowd.
Yeah,
of people.
I do like this scene.
And then, you know, just like, everybody thinks this stuff will last forever, but it won't. And my planet's gone. I'm the last of the Time Lords. And then Rose is just like, do you smell chips? I want chips.
I do. There was a part of me that wonders if that's why the doctor took her there. So that, like, he could talk to somebody with a frame of reference for what that feels like.
See a therapist, my dude. Stop kidnapping people. Taking them all in terrifying adventures where they almost get killed by the sun. And just see a therapist. What's wrong with you?
dudes will literally kidnap multiple women instead of just going to see a therapist.
I think that's all I got on the episode.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. Better or worse than Rose, the first episode?
Same.
Same?
Yeah.
Fair enough. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for some wrap-em-ups.
Tune in to The Con Guys Show. Con, as in Comic-Con. We are Hollywood filmmakers and super fans who cover all the news of the con universe, including the films, the TV shows, the streaming series, the experiences, and the events that fuel your fandom. If you'd find it at Comic-Con, then you'll find it here. Now in our seventh year, The Con Guys Show is a proud member of the ESO Network.
And we're back. Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to plug?
Yes. I just want to say that if you live in Chattanooga, and if you know a person named Heather who has Doctor Who tattoos in Chattanooga,
reach out to us.
You need to tell them that they're the best person in the whole world.
Our car broke down day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday, in like a terrible place, right behind a blind turn, coming off of the highway, so people were like going around this blind turn at like 70 miles an hour, and my car was broken down, and this person pulled up and was like, "Are you okay?" And I was just like crying, and I was like, "No, nothing's okay." And she like pulled over, she had oil, she had coolant, she like tried to help me fix the car. She was directing traffic away from the car while we were waiting for the police to get there. Because we needed like a full-on second or third person to push, to move the car. And she was like out there directing traffic and screaming at people. And she was the best. So, yeah.
If you know Heather.
I'm just trying to put it out into the universe to get someone to thank her for me.
I also want to mention something, which is that I entered a thing for the Chattanooga Film Festival. I was part of a pitch competition, and I got to pitch a movie project to some movie producers, and I won!
Joe's a winner!
My idea, called Amuse, won, and I get to have a meeting with some producers, so wish me luck. It hasn't happened yet, but I just wanted to brag a little, and keep an eye out for all the projects I'm going to be doing.
Keep an eye out for Joe to become real, real famous or something.
Yeah. Woo! If you're going to be at the, Danny Elfman concert.
Come say hi.
Come say hi. We're going to go see Danny Elfman in August at, I forget where, Irvine or something. So say hi to us. That's what I've got to plug. And if you like this episode of the podcast, check out more on WatchYourAssSalon.com. You can also find our podcast, our Patreon, and more at Linktree/Watchathon. I also want to give a special shout out to Vincent EL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Hey, thank you, Vince.
Check out more of their music at VincentEL.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about The Unquiet Dead with returning guest, but first-time guest of New Who, Steve Conway.
All right.
So we'll see you then or whatever. Until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
And now I shall deactivate.
Did you know that I have size small nostrils?
I'm sorry, I just came in. What's going on? I was CG this whole time.
I was just wondering if you knew that I had size small nostrils.
I could tell.
If you could tell?
Yeah.
When they gave me the nasal pillows for my CPAP machine, there are sizes, and they're like, you're a size small. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this information.
Well, I hope the audience does. I hope this doesn't change your opinion of Tony. Knowing that their nostrils are too small. That's what they said.
They did not say
they
too
said
small.
Too small.
They said
I thought that was pretty judgmental, but they were like, nope, them nostrils too small.
Not what they said. I don't know if I'd felt worse if they were like, they're
that's
extra
like canyon.
Large.
Yeah. We can't even fill them up. You're gonna have to put like cotton around it. What is happening? Bye.
Indubitably, this is the bad wolf scenario.
Moisturize me. Moisturize me.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.